Praise you, O God. We acclaim you as Lord. The glorious company of apostles praise you. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today, as we celebrate the great apostle, St. John, I know we at least have two Johns in the house here today, so special prayers from your patrons today. But one thing that's kind of amazing, and I know you'll know exactly what I mean by this, because either you are this person or you know a person like this. And I think St. John was one of those people who, he just sort of had no inhibitions, right? There was the gift of faith was very present for him. And, you know, I think of my own mother like this. I think of my grandmother. Even though, like, in their life, my life was really different than theirs, where I actually had to be trained, you know, in theology. And so, like, learn really specifically in an academic setting and all that stuff. But then other people who are just like, their belief is so strong and so real, and there was maybe never a day of formal training in life, but yet you can see their discipleship is so unbelievably strong. And there's something that I think anybody who is not one of those people, you just like really long for. I've had a couple conversations with people very recently who said to me, and you know, these were often people who are in larger families, and so one of seven who said, "I don't know, Father, the faith was always just there. Like, I always believed. When I was like a little kid, I believed, and I kept believing, and I believe now." And yet some of the siblings don't. You know, it's an unusual thing, but we kind of see that in a way in this gospel, where there's something about John that he arrives, you know, first, even though he has a different role than Peter does, and you see those roles being assumed. He arrives first, and he's there, and his faith is exuberant, but then Peter, you know, goes inside. So it's interesting. It kind of shows that there is a proper state in life for each one of us, and we really fulfill those roles. And that's the best way that we can do things, if we fulfill them in our proper state in life. Sometimes when we step out of it, things get a little bit wacky. One of the things that was also amazing in the letter to John in the beginning here is what you really hear in this letter is so largely, you know, at the very end it says this: "We are writing this so that our joy may be complete." And so that, in this particular letter, and then also two different times in the Gospel of John, there's a reference to why they're writing this in the first place. And it describes this personal experience of this, you know, of this very thing. You know, it's just like, because he came into our life, and this was like a real, actual thing. I think one of the greatest things that everybody seems to struggle with in the world right now is that whether this actually happened or not. And it's funny because those in the know realize that there's more historical evidence for this than there are for many other things in the world that everybody just take as like run-of-the-mill history or something like that. And especially our young people need to know that this is an unbelievably credible thing. Archbishop Sample often makes it a point at confirmation masses to tell the young people, it's just like, the reason that you're all here today is because of the resurrection. It's because Jesus actually rose from the tomb and people witnessed it. Lots of people, not just like the 12, not just like the 70, like hundreds of people witnessed this, him being alive, walking around again for 40 days. That's a pretty good length of time once rumor gets out, right? And you remember what they say specifically on the road to Emmaus? Are you the only one who hasn't heard? You know, they're saying that to Jesus because it goes to show you that the word had spread. So you're like, are you like the only one that in Jerusalem that doesn't know this yet? That means a lot of people knew and saw and witnessed. And in St. John is just one of the unbelievable examples. And so I also have this just on my phone. So he said, this is, happens in chapter 20 of, so the second to last chapter of John's gospel, but then also the very last paragraph in the last chapter of the gospel says, but there are also many other things which Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Every time I've read that, it just really struck me a lot that they're like, this is like a tiny selection that we have given for you that are worthy of belief. And yet tons and tons and tons of people don't believe. But they were like, if we wrote everything down, you know, he's basically telling, John is saying, look, I don't really think that there's a library in the world that would encompass the acts of Jesus, the things that he actually did while he was here on this earth. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And then we know, again, you know, there's a special relationship between John and Mary and subsequently all of us because of St. John. It's because they're entrusted to one another's care. And John is very much representative of the people of God, of the disciples of God who would follow. So it's just like, Jesus is like, this is your mother. And then he's just like, and here is John, your people, though. You know, it's not really just John. It's all that would follow. And he writes to tell you to follow. And that's just an amazing reality. You know, we know that they literally lived in the same house together. And so somebody was mentioning to me, do you think that, you know, John's gospel is different because, you know, Mary was so close to him? I was like, you can guarantee it probably was, because we know that the gospels, they're not a dictation, right? You know, it's not like Jesus speaking in the ear of the apostle and they're just writing down what he's saying. He allows their own experience and ability to inform what they write. Of course, it is all inspired by the Holy Spirit which is in them to write these things down. But each of their individual experiences and their audiences are also important aspects of who they are as individuals. One of the things I mentioned over this Christmas season was that the Lord just doesn't come to the world. He comes to you as an individual person. And that's the reality that we receive in the Eucharist, is he comes to us as individual people. And then filled with him, filled with the Holy Spirit, then we go out to other people. In the collect today, you'll notice there's one important caveat of that, though. It says in the collect, in the opening prayer, it's just like, with proper understanding. You know, it says like, of course, St. John wrote these beautiful things. He's like, but they must be understood with proper understanding. Where do we get proper understanding? We get it from the church. That's why we really need the church and not just a whole bunch of little churches functioning independently, because they come up with too much interpretations that are personal. And we know from the letter of St. Peter that no matter of Scripture is a matter of personal interpretation. And so that's all in Scripture. So we have to have proper understanding of the things that are read. And the church gives us that proper understanding. So we celebrate a great, great saint in St. John. And I wish you all still a Merry Christmas season. God bless you all.